In seeking employees, interviewers look for the right education and experience. But for workers in the body of Christ, it's different. God's list of qualifications for kingdom jobs includes character and spiritual maturity, and having the wisdom from above is a key requirement. Today, finding your way into the place God has for you in a local church. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Turn with us to Acts chapter 6. Erwin Lutzer is teaching us that when God is first, He owns our status, and He calls people filled with the Spirit and the wisdom the Spirit provides.
The Bible says that there is a wisdom that is from the earth, it is earthly. I'm amazed at the number of Christians who raise their children based solely on human wisdom. And we have the great danger of accepting human wisdom and thinking that it's wise when there is divine wisdom. I've participated in many discussions that go like this. Should the church be run as a business? Well, let me ask you, should the church be run as a business? I have to tell you, it's a trick question. And the reason it's a trick question is it depends what you mean. If you mean, should the church be run smoothly, administratively, accurately, and with accountability in the best possible way, if that's running the church as a business, then the church should be run as a business. And we thank God for those here in the leadership of Moody Church in areas such as finance and others who are really expert in being able to bring that kind of giftedness to us so that we maintain high standards of integrity and reporting procedures. Of course it should be run as a business if that's what we're talking about. But if what we mean when we say the church should be run as a business, that it's based on promotion, when it's based on slick methodology, and it's based on being able to get ahead of the next person or having such a slick campaign that you really don't need God, then the answer is no, the church should not be run as a business. The church has to move forward on its knees, seeking God. That's how we move forward as a church and as a congregation. And so what the early disciples did is they said, now we want you to choose these people and they're to wait on tables. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, the requirements here, you mean that these are the preachers of the word. No, these are the table waiters. These are the ushers. And the Bible is very, very clear. God intends that His blessed Holy Spirit inhabit the whole church. I don't know whether or not I should say this, but I'm going to say it and then decide later, should I have said that? That's one of the things, you know, about preaching, is that you get a chance to say it and then you get a chance to think about whether or not you should have said it. But there are some of you serving in this church, maybe, who should disqualify yourself from your service because you know that you don't come anywhere near the requirements of serving in the house of God. You know, I had the privilege of being at the Brooklyn Tabernacle a few years ago, and I was told by someone who visited that on a Saturday morning, he was downstairs praying with a group of people before they went out witnessing, and as he was leaving, he heard another prayer meeting going on in another room. And he said, what's going on there? Another group going out witnessing? He says, no. He says, those are the custodians who meet and cry to God and pray before they begin to clean the Lord's house for the Lord's day. Will you understand that the requirements of serving in the house of the Lord, be ye holy, ye who bear the vessels of the Lord. The dishes downstairs are holy dishes. The aisles are holy aisles. The car park is a holy place where God is represented in His people. Let me give you two important lessons, and then we shall ask God to change us forever. Number one, It's not what you do, really, that makes the difference. It's for whom you do it that gives every act significance. For whom do I preach? For whom do you sing, choir? For whom do you serve? For whom are you involved in any level of ministry here? For whom do you do children's ministry? We have to ask ourselves the question, is it done for others? Is it done that we might be well thought of? Is it done so that we can get our rewards here on earth and be told how wonderfully we are doing it? Or do we really genuinely say, Jesus, this is for you? And our great example is Jesus himself. We think of Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount. Marvelous, marvelous experience and a wonderful sermon. Best sermon that's ever been preached. But then in another context, we see Jesus washing the dusty, dirty feet of his disciples. What Jesus is saying is, look, it doesn't matter whether I preach the Sermon on the Mount. It doesn't matter whether or not I change diapers or wash the disciples' feet, because this is what my Father planned for me to do, and I do always those things that please him. Therefore, my motivation is to say, does this please the Father? Does this glorify the Father? That's our true motivation in service, and it cleanses us from all of those fleshly desires of self-exaltation, because when God is first, as this sermon title indicates, he owns our status, and we're satisfied with where he puts us within the body. God does a deep work in the human heart when he is first. I think one of the best examples of someone here at the Moody Church is probably not here listening to this message. His name is Bervin Peterson. Berv is the chairman of our board of elders. A man who gives us good guidance and good, sane, godly wisdom and advice. But you know, Berv doesn't come on the first Sunday of the month. I say, really? Yeah, that's right. He's probably not here. I don't know if he is, but I don't think so. We'll find out later, needless to say. Berv is over at the parking lot, parking people's cars and making sure that those cars are still there when the service is over. On the one hand, he serves so well in the ministry, but he sees no hesitancy or contradiction or something beneath him to be out there in good weather and bad weather, in storm and in rain and in sunshine, helping people park their cars and needing to miss the service because that's where he's serving. See, it doesn't matter what you do. It's for whom you do it that really matters. He's going to be shocked to discover that he was a sermon illustration today, so take it easy on him. But we love him and praise God for his leadership. Second big lesson is that faithfulness in one responsibility leads to greater faithfulness in another. You say, well, what was more important, waiting on tables or preaching the word? The answer is they were equally important, but preaching the word undoubtedly has greater responsibility. The Bible is clear about that. There's a difference between equal importance and equal responsibility. The preaching of the word, the Bible is clear, brings much more condemnation if it's not done well and accurately and truthfully. But still, in terms of importance, all of these things were equally important, the waiting on the tables. But isn't it interesting what God did? He took two people. Stephen was one of the ones that was chosen. And next week we're going to discover that he was the first martyr. And I've already been working on that sermon, you know, when he dies and looks into heaven. As the young people would say, I'm excited about it already. I'm pumped, as they would say. Next week's sermon. He becomes the first martyr, and Philip, God bless him, becomes the first evangelist. And we're going to be talking about him the next week. God says, you're faithful in waiting on tables. Ah, I have someone here I can now trust with greater responsibility, the ministry of the word. I can entrust him with the courage to die for Jesus because he was faithful. You know, the Bible says that those who serve, and these are really deacons, even though the name isn't mentioned, the word isn't mentioned, but a deacon means a servant. It says, they have used the office of a deacon or a servant well. They purchase for themselves a good degree, great boldness in faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Jesus said this regarding money. He said, if I cannot trust you with that which is a little thing, pardon me, Jesus, did I hear you right? Money, a little thing? I once had someone in another church. This is a true story. I guess it was one of those taters. He used to say, oh, you know, money isn't first, but it beats whatever comes second. Shame on him. Jesus said, it's a little thing. He says, if I can't trust you with a little thing, if you get jittery when there's an offering taken at the church or when there's a desire for us to see God do something wonderful so that we can build a building, if you get nervous about this, who's going to entrust to you the true riches, said Jesus? If you can't wait on tables, how are you going to preach? There's a final word and lesson, and that is that we don't give, until we receive. The choir sang so beautifully, come to the fountain, come to the water, come to receive everlasting life. And we already gave you that opportunity because salvation is free. It's given to needy sinners who know how bad off they are. But having been saved, we are called to ministry, called to involvement, not to be spectators, but to say, oh God, here's my talent, here's my time, here's my treasure, here's all of me. As we fall at his feet and say, God, use us in whatever way we desire. If we were all spirit-filled, marching in the victory of the resurrection Christ, Chicago would know about us. Well, yes, my friend, Chicago would know about us, and the people in your community would know about you. Wouldn't it be wonderful if indeed our churches were filled with spirit-filled people who knew God, who had wisdom, who were willing to do anything, even the most humble task, and in that humility and brokenness to understand God's guidance and direction, leadership and strength, that we might march forward for his name. And by the way, we live in very difficult days when the church needs to be the church. It is more urgent than ever. Can't help but listen to the headlines on the news. Can't help but read what is happening in Washington before we begin to know that we as a nation desperately need the church. America needs churches filled with the Holy Spirit, with a clear mission of the gospel, living it out at great personal cost, and in so doing, representing Jesus Christ here and to the ends of the earth.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Dr. Erwin Lutzer has concluded He Owns Our Status, the sixth message in his series, When God Is First, taken from the book of Acts. Tomorrow we'll learn that when God is first, He owns our future. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. When God is First is a series designed to help all of us order our priorities. This 8-part series can be yours on cassette, CD, or MP3. For full information, call toll-free 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about When God is First. Visit our website at runningtowin.org, and don't forget, Running to Win is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's edition of Running to Win.